It started as a relatively calm week on Wall Street.
It's ending with worries about a return to recession.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Marketplace Midday Update, our podcast from Marketplace.org. Today, finally, it is Friday, August 19th.
Happy Friday, Jeremy.
Happy Friday.
Coming up, stock market turmoil we're seeing today has a lot to do with the banks.
The world's largest computer maker may stop making computers.
And later, you think everything's big in Texas, right? Not 11-year-old mayor for a day, Carolyn Gonzalez, although she's made some big changes in one street name.
All that's just ahead on the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
As the stock market returns to the big swings we saw last week, although, Steve, frankly, mostly to the downside this week.
Really.
One sector that's been taking a big beating the past few days is banking. That's sparking fears of another financial crisis.
Let's continue coverage now of Breakdown, our economy one step at a time. And we have Marketplace's Stephen Beard with us from Europe, from our European desk in London, and Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon, who's with us here in Los Angeles. Stephen, first to you. I know banking fears sent stocks down last week, and then Europe banned short selling. So that didn't work, right?
No. The ban on short selling, that's speculators selling stock they don't own and then buying it back when the price is much lower, that ban seems to have been irrelevant in this market. Bank shares have fallen across the board. Big French banks that are covered by the ban have fallen sharply. Société Générale, that's been the subject of a lot of rumour recently, fell by 12% yesterday. Clearly, the ban hasn't stopped the rout. Two things are happening. Investors who are actually holding the bank stock are getting out, they're selling them, and people who make the market in these shares are marking the shares down in order to tempt in buyers, but they're not succeeding. Investors are very, very nervous about holding bank shares.
And where is all this fear coming from, Stephen?
Well, it is in a sense fear itself, but one trigger was a story that a big European bank had to go to the European Central Bank for emergency funding yesterday, worth some $500 million. We don't know which bank, and that's increased the uncertainty and the fear, with everyone wondering, is there a big bank in trouble? Which one is it?
All right, now to senior business correspondent Bob Moon in the studio with me now. Bob, is the same fear going on here in the U.S. with the stock market nosedive yesterday? I mean, this sounds like a lot like 3 years ago.
You know, there's an old song called "You've Got Your Troubles, I've Got Mine," and that was just running through my mind as I was hearing Stephen talk about this contagion threat from Europe. Now, don't get me wrong; there's no question that was a big part of the crisis of confidence flare-up yesterday. But U.S. banking stocks took some of their worst hits as news broke about our own troubles over here. The drops coincided with reports of turns for the worse in unemployment, home sales, factory activity. In fact, we saw one of the biggest tumbles just as the Fed in Philadelphia reported a sharp drop in regional manufacturing. That set off a chorus of screams from Wall Street that it's really looking like the U.S. is sliding over the edge into a new recession. And then it didn't take investors long to connect the dots and decide it's tough for banks to make money in an economic downturn.
Well, let's talk about the banks, because I thought we've been hearing that U.S. banks have been doing better, Bob.
And for the most part, they are better funded with more in their vaults than they were 3 years ago. But all those bad loans they made are still on their books, and they're still making it tough to be profitable. Just today, we've got reports that Bank of America is planning a wave of layoffs, maybe 10,000 workers to get back to profitability. Now comes this threat of recessionary headwinds, and it's all a vicious cycle. If business is bad here, that doesn't bode well for all the interconnected banks in trouble across the Atlantic, and that sets off a whole new round of worries.
And on this side of the Atlantic, Steve, there's the additional crisis over Eurozone government debt. All these big European banks are stuffed full of Eurozone government bonds. If one or more of these governments defaults, that could set off a chain reaction of bank losses, perhaps even bank failures, which could ricochet around Europe and, I'm sorry to say, head off back across the Atlantic to the U.S.
More dog chasing tail. All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
And Marketplace's Bob Moon in L.A. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks.
So, fear in the markets, Steve, and a lot of people are talking about whether we're heading into another recession. There are some sour regional data on manufacturing that are taking the markets down.
And Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch, and she's with us now from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
So we've heard a bunch of times, Jill, that we're not in an official recession. Why not? I mean, it sure feels like we're headed there.
Yeah, we haven't qualified based on the two ways that recession is defined. The rule of thumb method, which is two consecutive quarters of contraction, or the official way, that's the National Bureau of Economic Research, they haven't said that we've seen a significant decline in activity.
So they have to say it.
So they say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So they say they have to say it. Does it matter then, Jill, that there's been no official declaration?
Well, let's look at the facts. The U.S. economy grew by less than 1% in the first half of the year. There are nearly 25 million Americans who are either out of work or working part time. Wages are stagnating for those with jobs, and housing is still in the tank. So whether or not we call that a recession, there's no denying that the economy continues to struggle. Of course, oddly enough, corporations are doing well, and that's why the stock market is still up nearly 70% from the 2009 lows.
If it's not a recession, Jill, then what the heck is it? I mean, what should we call it?
Well, you know, I always think the U.S. economy went on a credit binge in the last decade. So I'd like to call this the bad hangover phase or a really bad recovery.
Really bad recovery. Out of the mouth of Jill Schlesinger joining us from CBS Money Watch. Jill, thanks.
Great to be with you.
So are we heading into another recession? And if so, are we prepared for it? Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He's with us now from New York, as he is every Friday. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Well, what a week it has been. What happened?
Well, aside from growing quite a bit more gray hair, what happened was this. We were doing just fine through the first half of the week. Stock market beginning to recover, optimism beginning to come back. And then yesterday, the Philly Fed Index was just dismal, plunging to minus 30, level last seen in the first quarter of 2009, which, of course, was right in the heart of the recession. And it just sent a wave of panic through the stock market. I think, though, it's important when you look at this to realize we're talking about a regional indicator. It is one that has sent false recession signals in the past. And we did have data earlier in the week suggesting the economy is not in such rotten shape.
Well, Chris, if we are heading back into another recession, what kind of shape are we in to do that?
Well, I think that is maybe the most relevant question, because if you're going into a recession, the question is, how bad is it? Is it going to be a replay of 08 and 09? And that, I think, is the big fear in the stock market. I would argue it is not. What determines how bad a recession is the level of credit in the economy. In 2008, we had record levels of debt in the household sector. The banking sector was levered up to its ears. Neither one of those things is true today. We, in fact, have households have been paying down debt for 4 years straight and continue to do so today. So we're in much better financial condition in the private sector than we were. I would think if it's a recession, it's a relatively mild one.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
Well, here's a number for you, Steve. 1860.
What, the year Abraham Lincoln was elected president? That's not it, is
you're,
it?
You're such a history buff.
I am. But
no, I'm talking about the price of gold today, which has reached another record high, and it could wrap up the longest run of weekly gains in 4 years.
Since 2007, yeah. There are more numbers, by the way, at our website, marketplace.org. You can also follow our show on Facebook and Twitter.
And you can follow us on Twitter as well. I'm at Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm at Radio Chio.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Well, the world's largest computer maker, Hewlett-Packard, is watching a 20%+ drop in its stock price today in early trading after saying yesterday it's considering spinning off its personal computer business and buying a British software company. For more, we turn to John Moe, the host of Marketplace Tech Report, who's with us now. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy.
So, John, I know that personal computers are passe at this point, but with HP potentially getting out of the business altogether, it seems kind of sudden.
Yeah, sure does. But HPE is moving toward the cloud philosophy, which a lot of people are, and that means people demanding less from their home PC in the long run. And at the same time it's turning toward the cloud, they're going to start putting a lot of focus on business computers. So you might see HP products at work, but they just might not follow you home.
So, John, what's the future for Hewlett-Packard at this point?
Murky. HP just announced that it's killing its tablets and phones, including the touchpad tablet they just launched, which has been kind of a stinker in terms of sales. Remember, HP bought Palm last year in part to expand its mobile offerings, and now it's saying, okay, well, that didn't work. We're going to shut mobile down. So all we know at the moment is that HP is taking radical action. They're taking big steps. We'll just see where those steps take them.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Jeremy.
It's already turning into a rough day for global stock markets, and with the stock market drop comes a drop in the interest rate the government is paying on its debt. Well, at one point yesterday, Uncle Sam was paying less than 2% interest on 10-year government bonds. That's the lowest rate in at least 50 years. And it comes despite S&P's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more from Washington.
With the downgrade, it should cost the government more to attract buyers of its bonds. Instead, just the opposite has happened. Partly due to the shaky overseas economy, Treasury bonds remain a safe investment. University of Maryland law professor Michael Greenberger says S&P's move damaged its own credibility.
Pre-September 2008, subprime chunk was getting triple A ratings, and then the United States, who is deemed to be a safe haven for investors, was given a AA+. That just doesn't make sense.
The two other big rating companies are maintaining the government's top grade. Still, S&P's action shook up Wall Street and has had ripple effects for local governments. Counties and cities put a lot of their tax revenue and pension money in Treasury bonds.
The full faith and credit of the United States to us, you know, still means something.
Dan Wolfson is the finance director for Manatee County, Florida. 30% of the county's investment portfolios is in Treasuries, and Wolfson says S&P's downgrade undermines the portfolio's value.
We're somewhat incredulous given everything that's happening in the European market sector, that they chose to downgrade the U.S. debt ahead of possibly that of France or even Germany.
The county has been paying S&P to rate its investment fund to reassure taxpayers. The S&P contract just came due, and the county board decided not to renew it. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Houston is poised to become the latest big city to shut down red light cameras. Of course, the costly tickets that come along with them aren't very popular amongst drivers, but advocates say they save lives. From the Transportation Nation Project at WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
Earlier this summer, Los Angeles turned off its red light cameras, and it turned out that under California law, LA couldn't really enforce the tickets and was losing money. Houston's next. Last November, voters there chose to shut down the cameras. That led to a complicated legal battle with the private contractor. Now the mayor, Anise Parker, says it's time to heed the will of the voters.
I'm very clear the cameras are going to go off. Also very clear I believe in red light cameras. I think the vote was a mistake.
But Houston and L.A. don't make a trend, according to Ann Fleming. She's a VP at the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. She says fewer than 10% of some 540 localities have voted them out.
The opponents of red light cameras are extremely vocal. They have decided that the people getting the tickets are the victims, not the people who are killed in red light running crashes.
One study shows when the traffic light cameras go dark, even more drivers run red lights than before they had the cameras in the first place. I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
Well, talking about Houston, of course, a woman was dining at a local restaurant, Jeremy, but she didn't like the service there. So she complained about it on Twitter. You know, sometimes when you're just not having a good day, you just snap up that
phone. Take to Twitter.
Just take to Twitter and just write it. You're like, oh,
try to get an army behind you
exactly.
To take on your problems.
She complained about the service on Twitter. So she called the bartender a twerp, which I haven't heard that term in like probably 20 years.
Totally.
And she used actually some other not so very nice words that we can't say here, or we could, but we're not going to. An off-duty manager of the restaurant, I don't know how he did it, but he saw the tweet and he called into the restaurant and he told the bartender, hand the phone over to the customer. So the manager told the lady he saw the tweet didn't appreciate the name calling. And if you follow that woman on Twitter, you'd know that she subsequently was booted out of the restaurant.
So I assume, Steve, that you're not going to be following her on Twitter.
Well, no, because she's bad luck, I guess, when it comes to dining out. And now to the marketplace global perspective. We told you about gold reaching another record high of more than $1,860 an ounce. Well, the Venezuelan president, Hugo Chavez, apparently sees the value in all that, and now he's nationalizing his country's gold sector, banning private companies from mining for gold. And that means gold will now be used to bolster the country's bank accounts. The BBC's Sarah Granger has been covering this in Caracas, and she's with us now. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
How does a country go about nationalizing gold?
Well, for Venezuela, this isn't something that's particularly new, because the president has nationalized various different sectors of the economy. He'll issue the decree in the next few days, and it will cover both the extraction and the processing of gold. So the government's saying basically they're taking over the entire process. That will mean taking some elements of that process out of the hands of private companies. The government's saying that it will be keeping all the profits within the government, within the country, and that's why they're taking this measure, to stop foreign companies taking profits from the gold sector outside of Venezuela.
How much, Sarah, does this have to do with the record high price of gold right now?
Well, President Chavez says that this is a major factor in his decision, that gold prices are so high that the country really has to benefit from them, and that for too long private companies have been taking out the profits, and that the country really needs to keep the gold for itself. So that also could have some effect on the markets and on confidence in Venezuela as well.
The BBC, Sarah Granger in Caracas. Sarah, thank you.
That's a pleasure.
Well, now to the world of personal finance. Steve, do you pay attention to your credit score?
Oh, I do. Very much so.
You do the annual check?
Absolutely.
Well, of course, the consequence of that is that you can find out if you're going to be better positioned to get a big loan, like a mortgage or a car loan or something like that. But did you ever think that having a bad credit score – I'm sure yours is very good – but if you had a bad credit score, that it could cost you your job?
No, I did not know that.
Well, indeed, that may be the case. Marketplace's David Brancaccio has been looking into that. He's going to be filling in for Tess Vigeland on Marketplace Money this weekend, our consumer finance show, and he joins us now to talk about this. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, of course, David, a lousy credit rating can hurt your ability to get a loan, but a job?
Yeah, it turns out 6 in 10 companies surveyed said that they check some applicant's credit report when you go in to get a job. I spoke with a woman named Saran Scholler in Chicago. She had finished her master's degree with the economy tanking is when she gets done her master's degree back in 2008, so she can't find work, can't pay her student loans. Then she goes in for a job where she does seem to have experience and qualifications, ironically in human resources work is what the job is going to be. She doesn't hear back, and then when she calls,
the recruiter told me that she had taken a look at my background doing a credit check, and my credit was an issue and they could not hire me.
Wow. So can recruiters actually see your credit score?
Not your score, but they can see a lot about you. Looking at the report, I mean, you can divine whether or not you buy your shoes at Nordstrom or Payless, an expert told me, if you're behind on the bills for a medical condition. A human resources expert told me that he can see why some people would find this, quote, creepy. But in some cases, a job in banking, for instance, the expert argued that this kind of check makes some sense. A new study, however, could not find – this is the important part, Jeremy – any link at all between credit score and job performance.
Well, no link, but I guess it sounds like we have to now be careful about what we borrow if we want to get a job somewhere.
Borrow or spend. That's the big issue we're probing this weekend on Marketplace Money. If we don't spend, life gets drained from the U.S. economy. But surely we're supposed to save during these tough times. A paradox by any other name.
Economy 4.0 correspondent David Brancaccio, who will be hosting Marketplace Money this weekend. David, thanks.
It is my pleasure, Jeremy.
And finally, Steve, let's go to Forney, Texas, where 11-year-old Caroline Gonzalez got to be mayor for a day.
Oh, that's nice.
And her first order of business was to change the name of Main Street.
What?
To Justin Bieber Way.
Oh, no!
Of course. What else would you call
it? Of course.
Unfortunately, for Mayor Gonzalez, the
Why not Hannah Montana?
Right.
My gosh.
Well, the Justin Bieber Street sign was stolen within 48 what? Hours after it had been put up there. Mayor Gonzalez's father told the Dallas Morning News he has never seen her so mad.
Oh, my gosh.
But a new sign was put up yesterday, and it's going to be there until Monday in case you have any plans.
He hasn't seen her so mad, but wait until she has a career in politics. Boy, she'll just be very, very mad all the time.
And let's go out of the Marketplace podcast here on some Bieber.
You know you love me.
Stop dancing like that. Come on, Jeremy. Get right off the table.
Well, we've got the latest Bieber, the numbers, the podcast, all of that, Marketplace, iPhone app, and much more. It's all at Marketplace.org.
Check out our special coverage called Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. That's at Marketplace.org as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson. Have a great weekend. This is the Marketplace Midday Update.
And this is home of Justin Bieber, APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.